Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner recipes with caramelized onions, the drink of the week, and Grandma's recipe box. That's all coming up on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department with delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook, and I'll admit, sometimes I cook real flops. This weekend, I did cook a lot. I cooked several different dishes, some that I had cooked before, and others were kind of testers, but let's see. I'm going to just give you a couple of the things I made today, kind of have them written down for you, and we'll try to wing it, but braised scallops in a Vietnamese caramel sauce, which was good, and also a lemongrass panna cotta with coconut sorbetto and a spicy mango broth. So I was cooking dinner for a few people this weekend, and it was my donation to the Viking Swim Club auction from last year. Finally got around to doing that dinner, and it was fun. I did, and Rodney, Asian food, Vietnamese food mostly. And it's just a food I'm really comfortable with. But I love the flavors. I love lemongrass, and I love lime, and I love, I love Vietnamese caramel sauce, which is different. You might think of caramel being really sweet, but a Vietnamese caramel sauce actually takes it a little bit further, and it's not really sweet. It's got the sweet and sour taste to it from the fish sauce. And so just a mix of the evening of seafood and a little bit of beef, a little bit of pork, some shrimp, Vietnamese taco. It was really, really good. But I just wanted to share with you the scallop recipe because it's pretty easy. But first you need to know how to make Vietnamese caramel sauce. And once you know how to make a Vietnamese caramel sauce, then you can make many, many dishes that call for Vietnamese caramel sauce. Usually it's cooked in a little stoneware pot with a lid, and it's kind of an earthenware crock, pretty heavy duty actually. And I didn't make mine in that pot. I made it in a cast iron pot, but and then I just poured the caramel sauce off the pot and let it cool and saved it. You can make caramel sauce up to a week in advance, so you can make it one weekend and know you're going to be using it the following weekend. This is the first time I put shallots in a caramel sauce, a Vietnamese caramel sauce. But lots of recipes call for this sauce, like chicken in caramel sauce. So it would be like chunks of chicken. And generally I would take like chicken thighs and chicken legs and use a cleaver and, chop them in half so you have smaller chunks of chicken, and you would cook those in your little pot in the caramel sauce after you make the caramel sauce and let it cook for quite a while, and it just takes on all of that flavor, and usually serve it over rice with green onions, you know, chopped up shallots and green onions. Really, really good. So to make a caramel sauce, you want to start off with your heavy bottomed pan. And I, like I said, I used my cast iron pan. If you have something like an earthenware pot that you can put on the stove, great, then use that. But start it off with some sugar. And I used, because that's what I had in the kitchen right there, I used organic raw sugar. And, you know, throw in, you know, half a cup of that in the bottom of your pan. And you don't need to stir it too much, but it'll start to melt. And a quarter cup of water. And let that come, let that start to melt. And once it does, then you're going to let it boil. And you really don't want to stir it very much at all. You can swirl the pan a little bit and let the sugar dissolve that way, but don't stand there at your pot and stir, because that's just going to going to turn the whole business hard. You know, you just want it to stay, and you want it to caramelize evenly. So once that sugar starts to melt, just let it go. And every now and then you can swirl the pan or give it a stir, and that's about it. And then you're going to have on the side some fish sauce, some Vietnamese fish sauce. That's what makes this caramel so delicious. Sometimes I just add only fish sauce. And last night, I added fish sauce mixed with water. So I had like a quarter cup of fish sauce in a quarter cup of water. But you could just use the fish sauce too. I've done that before. So once your sugar and water mixture starts to caramelize, you go past the caramelization stage that you normally would use when you're making a caramel or regular caramel sauce. You actually want, this will start to turn very, very dark, almost as if you're going to burn it. And that's how dark you want this sauce to be. And then you add your fish sauce or your fish sauce and water mixture. And it could right away crystallize, but just leave it alone and it will start to loosen up again and liquefy. And once it does, then you have a wonderful sauce. And then I add from there a little bit of red pepper paste. Or you can add some chopped red peppers. But, you know, you cannot find little red peppers here in Petersburg. It's difficult. So you need to go with the red pepper paste. And you can add a little lime to that. But then you have that nice caramel sauce. And then that's when you can add your chicken, or you can add, we've done this with chunks of salmon before, or other chunks of meat, and let that sit. And even even if you're using salmon, it just gets that nice caramelization, and it just cooks down, releases the juices. And even though the salmon's falling apart, it's great over rice. But I just put it away in a little Tupperware for a few hours and then brought it back out. And I took a cast iron pan and I put the sauce in the pan. The pan heated it up. And to that, once I added it to the pan, it was nice and hot and started to bubble. Then I added the scallops. And scallops only take just a few minutes, you know, and then I flipped them, each scallop, and they had the nice brown sauce on them. Oh, another thing that I did that I mentioned earlier is I added finely chopped shallots to the mixture. As soon as I added the red pepper sauce to the caramel sauce, then I also added the chopped up shallots and very, very finely minced. So it gave it a whole nother flavor profile as well. So now all of that's in my pan, and I've added the shallots, and then I flip the shallots over, or the scallops, and great, easy to do. Just serve them with some rice, add some chopped green onion over the top, a little bit of maybe some Nook Mom. Make sure you get some of the scallions and shallots in there. Very, very good. So easy to make. It's not hard to make Vietnamese caramel sauce. Remember, you just use sugar in the bottom of a pan. You can add a little bit of water to it. You want to bring that to a boil and let it caramelize past the time when you would normally use it to make caramel. You want it to be very, very dark. Then you add fish sauce, quarter cup with maybe a quarter cup of water, or you can just add fish sauce if you really want it to be tangy and thick. It might crystallize, but then it'll melt back down, and then you can add your red pepper. You could add chopped up shallots, and there you have your sauce. You can save it for a week. You can use it on chicken, all sorts of stuff. It's just this nice, sweet sauce that has the spiciness to it, but has that caramel flavor. So that was good. Also made a lemongrass panna cotta with a coconut sorbetto, which is just this, like a sorbet. And I made a spicy mango broth with it. Panna cotta is like making, if you've never made it before or had it, it's like a jello made with milk and cream instead of just water and flavoring and gelatin. So for this, I used some cream, some whipping cream. I think I used about let's see, 4 cups of whipping cream. Maybe it was just a 1 pint of whipping cream. It could have just been 1 pint, but you just figure out your ratio, and then about half of that in milk. So if you're using 2 cups of whipping cream, you're going to use half a cup of milk, and then you want to use about 12 grams of gelatin, so maybe about 2 packages of gelatin. And but what you do first is you heat your milk up and your cream up in your pan, and then you add a little bit of sugar to it. And how much sugar, it's up to you. Maybe you don't want to add any sugar to it. The nice thing about panna cotta is that you can flavor it any way you want to. So of course I added 2 stalks of chopped up lemongrass to this, and it had a great lemongrass flavor. And I just let it steep for a while, and then I brought it to a boil and then turned it off. But you can add a rind of lemon, you can lemon zest, lime zest. One time I made panna cotta, I made it with saffron and a little bit of sugar, so it had the sweetness, but yet it had the flavor of the saffron. You can make all sorts of flavors using different juice and different fruits. But the nice thing about panna cotta is it's just, when you just add a little subtle flavor to it, it's perfect, because you're making it gel up from the gelatin. So it'll be nice and firm when you take it out of the refrigerator. You can add other sauces and things with it. So go light on the flavoring if you're going to add other sauces with it. So this one I made was lemongrass, and usually I just use ramekins for this. I have made it before in wine glasses, and then you put it in the refrigerator and let it set for generally about 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours. But I used ramekins, and then I also made a spicy mango broth. I wanted something that went with the meal, but was a little bit different, so I started off with a mango puree and water and sugar, I used just a little bit of honey, but we were out. And basically just cook that down as if you're making any sort of sweet syrup. But I didn't want it to be too thick, and then strained it off. And I also added, instead of water this time, I added coconut water, which has a nice flavor to it. Not coconut milk, but coconut water. I added a little bit of red pepper paste, just a little bit. And that was about it. So it had that sweetness. You could taste the coconut water, the mango, but had a little bit of a spiciness to it. And it was nice and sweet. It was very, very sweet. So it was a good mango broth. And I just put that in the bottom of the bowl, cold. Put it in the refrigerator, cool. Put it in the bottom of the bowl. Put the panna cotta over the top. To unmold panna cotta, you just sit it in some warm water in a tray for just a few minutes. And then you run a knife around the edge, and then you flip it over. I also made a little cookie. And I just used the recipe I used was just a fortune cookie recipe, because the nice thing about fortune cookies, as you know, is that you can mold them. And then when they harden pretty hard. And they're easy to make, and they only take just a few minutes. So I just, you know, when you're making one of those cookies, it just takes egg whites generally and a little bit of flour, and some almond extract or vanilla extract. It really doesn't take much. And you usually beat the egg whites and salt and sometimes cornstarch too, and flour in another bowl. Then you add it all together. And just a little bit on a Silpat mat, or I used parchment, and make a little 3-inch circle. Put it in the oven and bake it for just a few minutes, and the edges start turning brown. And then once they look like they're just about done, you pull them out. And then that's when you would add your fortune. And then fold them over twice. But in this case, I just took them off and I just folded them up like a taco. And then in that, I added some coconut sorbet. And I put that on top of the panna cotta. So it went well together, and I want to work with little cookies some more with panna cotta. And I'd also like to work with some chocolate and possibly some sort of brittle with panna cotta. I could really get into making more desserts like that, I think. But it isn't as hard as it sounds. Making panna cotta is just as easy as making Jell-O, really. Instead of using water, you're using the cream, and you're putting your own flavoring in, and it's what you do with it afterward that will make it kind of special. So there you have it. And coming up next, we're going to talk about caramelized onions. Oh, one of my favorite. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today we're going to talk about caramelized onions, among other things. What I like about cooking is it's kind of this nice mix of science and magic. Like, you can make something from runny batter and it'll turn out nice and soft and pillowy. And you can cook vegetables down from, here you have this vegetable, but you can cook it into something completely different, like a soup or a vinegar, that's really the case with onions. Onions, when you have a raw onion, it's a raw onion. It's strong. You don't like to eat them raw hardly at all. But when you cook onions, you can turn it into something completely different. And I guess that's why I love to caramelize onions. Once you do cook onions, they're so sweet and flavorful. And it's really magical. So you need to choose your onions. And generally when I'm caramelizing an onion, I like to use yellow onions. So, you know, you can use other onions as well. If you use like a sweet Walla Walla onion, they really have a lot of sugar in them. So I wouldn't suggest that unless your recipe calls for it. So just go with a yellow onion. You know, you can use as many or as few onions as you want. You want to have the right size pan. And so you want to, if you're cooking a lot of onions, you want a wider pan. You want to cut your onions in half. You want to peel them. Remove the tops and the ends. Lay the halves down and then thin slice them into half rings. So it's nice if you cut them all the same size. So you don't want some wide cuts and some narrow cuts. You want to have them all the same size. You want to use, like I said, your wide, thick-bottom stainless steel or a cast iron pan. You want to add enough oil or butter to coat the bottom. So maybe like 1 teaspoon per onion. Heat your butter or oil over medium-low heat. You're going to add your onion slices, and they'll begin to sweat. You don't need to stand there and stir, stir, stir. You can just stir them occasionally. And then, after about 10 minutes, the onions will start to soften, and most of the moisture is gone. Then you add a little pinch of salt. Then, once that happens, then you got to really watch, because you don't want your onions to burn. So keep an eye on them. They'll start to oxidize, and they'll start to take on that color, and that's when they'll start to caramelize. Let them continue to cook for a little while longer, 30 minutes to an hour, and you want to stir them often so they don't burn. When they're, you know, deep and brown, then you're done. Sometimes you might want to deglaze the pan with a little balsamic vinegar or wine for a little extra flavor. Sometimes I do that, especially if I'm making a tart or a soup, but it's not necessary. And if you're making caramelized onions, it's always best to try to make a few more, because then you have them left over. Because they are so good added to soups and salads and sandwiches and pizza. If you've never had caramelized onions on pizza, it's delicious. They're really good on everything that you can think of. So a few things that I thought of course, were caramelized tartlets, and I have a recipe here to give you for that. Also, personal pizzas. You know, when you're making pizza, caramelized onion is really good on a pizza. It just adds that little extra sweetness, but yet tanginess, but it's very subtle. And that goes really well with goat cheese or Swiss or Gruyere cheese. It goes really well with caramelized onions. Caramelized onions, of course, are super great on burgers and grilled sandwiches. Caramelized onions, delicious. Also, you can make spreads and marmalades with caramelized onions, and that even cooks them down even further. But you can just spread them onto a piece of bread when you're making a sandwich, or you can topple caramelized onions on the top. Also, caramelized onions are really good in dips and soups. So I'm going to share some recipes for you. This first one is from Ina Garten, and this is her pan-fried onion dip. This is so good. So if you're tired of a certain dip, you know, we have our really healthy dips, hummus and things like that, and then we have, you know, things like onion dip made with mayonnaise and cream and all of that. So here's the one with made with mayonnaise and cream. 2 large onions, 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1/4 cup of vegetable oil, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is one seasoning I use a lot of. Just a little pinch of it gives your food just some brightness and flavor. 1 teaspoon of kosher salt and 1/2 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. 4 ounces of cream cheese at room temperature. 1/2 cup of sour cream and 1/2 cup of good mayonnaise. So cut the onions in half, slice them into 1/8 thick half rounds, and heat butter and oil in your sauté pan. Add the onions, add the cayenne, pepper, and cook them for about 10 minutes and add your salt. Reduce heat to medium-low and cook for about 20 more minutes until the onions are browned and caramelized. Let them cool. Then you put the cream cheese, the sour cream, and the mayonnaise in a bowl in an electric mixer fitted with the paddle attachment and beat until smooth. Add the onions and mix well. Taste for seasoning. Serve at room temperature. So you could use this, endive would be really good with this, endive, to, you know, spread some. You don't have to have a cracker or a chip for this onion dip. You can use endive, you could use celery, you can just have other vegetables on the table and actually dip with it, but yeah, really good. And of course, if you wanted to make it a thinner dip to use for like a chip, you could by just adding a little more milk and to the consistency that you want it. So that's an easy way to use caramelized onions. And, of course, another way to use caramelized onions is French onion soup. But I wanted to give you something different than French onion soup. Sweet potato and caramelized onion soup sounds like a perfect soup for this time of the year to take the chill off. And you're going to need 2 tablespoons of butter, 3 onions thinly sliced, and 1 teaspoon of sugar. 2 cloves of minced garlic, 3 sweet potatoes peeled and cubed, and 1 quart of vegetable broth. And 1/4 teaspoon of ground allspice, 1/4 teaspoon of thyme, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and cayenne pepper. Also some salt and pepper. So you're going to add butter in your large pot over medium-high heat and add your onions and allow them to caramelize. So once again, it's going to take anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. While the onions are, when they're browned, add your garlic and stir for 30 seconds and add in the rest of the spices and stir. Just be careful when you add the garlic in. You don't leave it sit there too long, especially if the pan is a little bit dry. Once that garlic gets to be burnt, then it takes on a different flavor. And that flavor might be good in something else or even like roasted garlic bread to have that sort of caramelized burntness on the outside when you're putting it in bread or something. But when you want it in a dish, like a soup, you don't want that flavor. So be careful that you just let the garlic cook for about 30 seconds and then add some liquid. So add your vegetable broth, add enough water to barely cover the vegetables, bring it to a boil, and then reduce it to simmer. Simmer for 15 minutes or until the sweet potatoes are fork tender. Serve with croutons. Such an easy soup. So anyway, such an easy soup. Just onions, potatoes, vegetable broth, spices. Great. And, you know, vegetable broth is easy to make at home. You don't have to buy it. You can, especially, you know, if you eat a lot of vegetables, you could use the end of your celery stalk, kind of that butt end or end. You can use, you know, the ends of carrots. You can use the stalks from your kale. And a lot of times when I make vegetable broth or any broth, I just cut an onion in half and throw the whole thing in, skins and all. So remember to keep those unless you're giving them to your chickens or something like that. But pretty easy to make this sweet potato caramelized onion soup. It's going to have a lot of flavor. And if you wanted to, like I'd mentioned earlier, you could take a little bit of white wine right when the before you add, right after you add the garlic and the spices, before you add the vegetable broth, you could add just a little bit of white wine, just a little, just to pull it away from the soup pot and deglaze a little bit, and then add your vegetable broth. It's going to have a good flavor. And it doesn't taste like wine. Here's one. And this is coming up, you know, mashed potato season. If you have mashed potatoes for Thanksgiving, some of your meals coming up, or you're doing a lot of mashed root vegetables, you can add caramelized onion. Here's a recipe for caramelized onion mashed potatoes. Once again, you're cooking your onions using, this one is 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter and 3 tablespoons of olive oil. And that's what I like to do. I like to add butter and oil both. About 7 cups of onions. Now, for this, you don't really need to have your onions cut in half and cut into slices. It's best here if you just chop your onions, because you just want those nice flakes of caramelized onion in your mashed potatoes. So just go ahead and chop, chop. 1/2 teaspoon of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. Once again, you're heating your butter and olive oil in your skillet until the butter's melted. Add your onions. Cover and cook 10 minutes until the onions have wilted, stirring only occasionally. Sprinkle with sugar, stir to combine, and cook another 25 to 30 minutes until the onions are deep and golden brown, and that's when you want to stir frequently. You know, caramelizing onions has the two parts. It has when you first throw them in, you're coating them with oil. You don't want to stir them much. They start to release all of the moisture. And then, once they start to brown, that's when you're stirring them. Then also stir in salt and pepper. Then place potatoes in a large saucepan and boil those with water and simmer them about 12 minutes until the potatoes are tender when pierced. And for potatoes, sometimes it depends on whatever potato you want to use. Russet potatoes make good mashed potatoes. I like to use Yukon Golds as well. Then once you have cooked the potatoes and drained them, you can return them to a saucepan. Keep them warm. You're going to take some warm butter, about 2 tablespoons, and your milk, warmed, 2/3 cup of whole milk. And then press the potatoes through a potato ricer into a bowl, or you can mash them with a potato masher. Stir in your milk and butter, stir in the caramelized onions, and the remaining teaspoon of salt, and about 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. If you want to add more spice, you can do that too. You could add a little fresh thyme. It would be great. You could add, once again, a little bit of cayenne pepper. I always like to add a few little red pepper flakes. Delicious. Even a little bit of a nutmeg would be good in this recipe. So if you want to up your game with your mashed potatoes, try a little caramelized onion. Anything caramelized and balsamic vinegar, oh my gosh, so good. So here's a balsamic caramelized onion hummus. A little more on the healthy side for a dip or a spread. A couple teaspoons of olive oil, 2 medium yellow or sweet onions, thinly sliced. 1 1/2 teaspoons of brown sugar, divided. 1/4 cup plus 1 tablespoon of balsamic vinegar divided, 1 can of chickpeas, 3 tablespoons of reserved liquid from the can of chickpeas, 3 tablespoons of tahini, you can find that in the grocery stores, 1 clove of garlic minced, 1.5 to 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice. Tahini is usually found near peanut butter or almond butter. 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. So heat your oil, add your onions, stir to coat. After about 5 minutes, add a little salt. Spread the onions out across the pan and let them cook without stirring. Then add some brown sugar and 1 tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, stir to coat, and continue stirring for about 20 minutes. Once they're caramelized, remove them from the pan. You can save a little bit of the onions to top the hummus, because that'll look nice, if you want to. Otherwise, add them all to your food processor. Then you have your liquid from your chickpea can. Drain and rinse the rest of the chickpeas. Add 1/4 cup of balsamic vinegar to a small saucepan. Bring to a boil and let simmer until reduced, thick, and syrupy, about 1 to 2 tablespoons worth. Remove from heat and set aside. You're going to add to the food processor the chickpeas, the liquid from the chickpea can, the tahini, the garlic, the lemon juice, the 1/2 teaspoon of brown sugar, salt, pepper, and process until smooth. And, of course, your onions are in there. Serve the hummus topped with caramelized onions if you like. Drizzle with balsamic reduction, and there you have it. You can serve that with all sorts of vegetables, breads, crackers, you name it. Delicious and pretty healthy. And now here's another dish. This one uses lentils, brown rice, and caramelized onions. I actually got this from the Whole Foods website. They have lots of recipes, and I like lentils, and I like the flavor of brown rice. And with caramelized onions, that just will enhance it. So here you go. You need 1 cup of long grain brown rice, 1 cup of dried brown lentils, 3 yellow onions thinly sliced, 3/4 of a teaspoon of cumin, 1/4 of a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt, 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper, and 1/4 cup of chopped fresh parsley. If you have garam masala, you could just use a little bit of that too, and then you're going to get a little more spice, and it's going to taste delicious. Bring the rice and 2 cups of water to a boil in your medium pot. Reduce heat to low. Cover the pot and simmer until the liquid is completely absorbed. The rice is tender. 40 minutes. Meanwhile, in another pot, you bring the lentils to a boil and 5 cups of water. Reduce heat to low and cover partially. Simmer until the lentils are tender but not falling apart. 30 minutes. You're going to drain those, rinse them in cold water. Make sure they're nice and drained. So while the lentils and rice are cooking, you still have time to bring about 1/2 cup of water to simmer in a large skillet. Add onions and cook until they begin to soften, about 8 minutes. Those are your thinly sliced onions. Add 1/4 cup of water, the cumin, the cinnamon, and the salt. Reduce heat to medium. Continue to cook about 15 minutes until the onions are soft and browned. Stir frequently, adding 1/4 cup of water halfway through cooking if the onions begin to stick. Remove 1 cup of cooked onions and set aside. Stir the lentils, the rice, the pepper into the skillet with the remaining onions. To serve, top with reserved onions and garnish with parsley. So very nice. Just rice, lentils, onions, delicious. And that would go with all sorts of different foods, from lamb, chicken, any sort of curry dish, salmon, go good with salmon. Lots of seafoods. Very good. Of course, I couldn't not talk about, an onion tart. onion, mushroom, and Gruyere. They go so well together, and it's a rich dish. But you can make a tart using pie dough. If you have a good pie dough recipe, you can make a tart using puff pastry. You can make one using layers of phyllo. So you can make a tart with just about all of those things. And basically caramelize your onions. And then you can also stir fry some mushrooms. Thyme goes really well with onions. It really, really does. So some fresh thyme, some salt and pepper. Also, it's one of those times where you'd want to deglaze the onions with white wine. If you're making a tartlet, then perfect. And then it's almost like you're making a pizza, really. And using Gruyere cheese if you can find it, but you can substitute any variety of Swiss cheese. So a cheaper block of Swiss will be just fine. And then you can make an egg wash recipe just with one egg and a tablespoon of water to brush your tart with on the outside. And then some parsley. But when you bake these, you just top with the shredded Gruyere. You put a spoonful of onion and mushroom. And then you top with shredded Gruyere cheese or the Swiss cheese. And you brush the edges with the egg wash and you bake about 15 to 20 minutes. And then you garnish with the fresh parsley at the end. Delicious. It's perfect for a luncheon and really good even for brunch. But I've been making a lot of galettes lately, which is kind of an open-faced pie. It has layers to it, so it's got like usually a fruit puree of some sort on the bottom and maybe some nuts with a flour mixture to absorb some of the sauce that maybe the fruit you put on top starts to release. That's a galette. But when you're making a tartlet like this, then you just roll out your pie dough, or you can buy it store-bought, and it's pretty simple. You just put all those ingredients there toward the middle and leave about a 2-inch lip on the outside, and then sprinkle with the cheese, and then fold that lip over, overlapping it here and there on the sides. Put it in the oven and bake it 15 to 20 minutes until the crust is done and the top is nice and bubbly, and you have a really great onion tart there. You can also make caramelized onion marmalade using onions, butter, brown sugar, and, of course, cooking those down with some garlic and white wine or wine vinegar to deglaze a little bit. And the more you cook an onion marmalade, the better it's going to be. It just kind of just becomes a spread, which is really, really nice. A very easy onion and shiitake mushroom soup. Start off with a Dutch oven, add some oil, like a tablespoon of olive oil, and add some sliced yellow onion. Saute those for about 15 minutes. Add a little bit of salt and then continue to cook and stir until they're golden brown. Then increase the heat to medium. You're going to add some mushrooms to the pan. These are shiitakes, 5 cups of sliced shiitakes. But if you don't have shiitakes, you can use other mushrooms. Add in garlic and thyme. Once again, thyme shows up. Cook for 2 more minutes. Increase the heat to medium high. Add your wine to the pan and deglaze it. Cook for 2 more minutes till it evaporates, and then add your broth, which is some good beef broth. And then let that simmer for another 45 minutes. Stir in some pepper. Check your seasonings. A very nice, simple, light caramelized onion and shiitake soup. And I have one more that I'm going to skip today, but you can imagine, if you know how to make good macaroni and cheese, try adding some caramelized onion to your macaroni and cheese. That's going to kick it up a notch, right? And coming up next, I have the drink of the week. I think you're going to like it. support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Hosting trivia on Wednesdays, open mic on Thursdays, and DJs for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store is open 7 days a week. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today's drink of the week, it just sounds very fallish. And I think it sounds delicious. It's a bourbon maple apple cider. You need 6 ounces of bourbon, 4 teaspoons of fresh lemon juice, 4 to 6 teaspoons of pure maple syrup, 1 cup of spiced apple cider, apple slices for garnish, and ice. And you can always make this without bourbon by just using a little more apple cider and just really making it a lemony maple apple cider drink. Fill your glasses and a cocktail shaker with ice. Add to the shaker bourbon, the lemon juice, the maple syrup, and the apple cider and shake it vigorously. Strain it into glasses and garnish each with a slice of apple on the rim there. I just think it sounds refreshing. The maple flavor and the sweetness, but yet the tartness of the apple and then the bourbon, I think it just works. A bourbon maple apple cider. Okay, so now I'm going to draw a recipe here out of Grandma's recipe box, and I just pull one out, but I do have to mention that I was looking in here a little bit earlier. I just decided to check out the seafood tab to see, you know, we're all from the Midwest, so what was considered, you know, what did she have in here for seafood? Well, scalloped oysters. That was in the seafood tab, and tuna noodle au gratin. So, there you go, from Iowa, the seafood section. Okay. Here we go. I'm pulling one out and, okay, brownies. Well, that's good. It's brownie time then. Here we go from Grandma's recipe box. 1/2 cup of butter or margarine, 1 cup of sugar, 2 eggs, slightly beaten, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 2/3 cup of sifted flour, 2 squares of bitter chocolate melted, and 2/3 cup of nut meats, which is chopped nuts. So you're going to use an 8-inch pan, line it with waxed paper. Really? You line it with waxed paper and bake for 25 minutes. I've never baked with waxed paper, but I would definitely line it with parchment. But bake 25 minutes. So you cream the butter and margarine together. You add the 1 cup of sugar. You mix in the 2 eggs. You add to that the teaspoon of vanilla. Stir in 2/3 cup of sifted flour. And then add the 2 squares of melted bittersweet chocolate and 2/3 cup of nut meats. You just pour that into your 8-inch pan and bake at 325. And she says here, do not overbake. We try. Try not to overbake anything, right? And that's it for What's for Dinner today. Thanks for joining me. I'll be back next week with more food and recipes. Have a great week. Happy cooking. We'll be right back.